Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Jets are leaving, folks. We've known that for a long time. No reason to get worried about that. But where are they going? What's it look like down there? What are they getting? They're going to the Arizona desert. And so tonight's game brings a sense of closure. We're losing something great to the land of cactus and coyotes.
Thing about history, apparently. Look at this. The place is wild as the Coyotes welcome the Mighty Ducks. A first ever playoff game in this arena. They're standing and cheering and have been for a long time. You can't beat this one, excitement.
The first ever playoff game here in Phoenix, and the crowd is ready for this hockey. It is going to be a great, great atmosphere earlier in this game.
Broberg again. And it goes over the glass and out of play.
Let's take one more look at that last goal. Matias Maccelli. Ratu with the pass. Down low. 16-19. He's heating it up. Matias Maccelli with the hands to knock that down out of midair. Get it to the forehand, then to the backhand, and elevate that puck.
Thank you to them for everything that they've done for us. And obviously it's something that there's a lot of disappointed people out there and people that are upset, and it's going to hurt and it's going to sting for a while. And that's something that as a player, it's you want to feel apologetic for everything. But as someone who's grown up in the Valley and grown up with it, you kind of feel the pain as well. But I think it's something where tonight you just focus on the game, enjoy one last game, and then who knows what's going to happen down the road. But for now, the Coyotes are still Arizona's team for one more day, so just kind of embrace it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That last voice, Josh Doan, the rookie, the son of Shane Doan, one of the best players in Arizona Coyotes history. A dubious history, a rocky history, a history fraught with uncertainty and frustration and disappointment and emotional fans who have come to grips with the fact that their franchise is leaving. Though it was Winnipeg who lost the franchise to Arizona. So again, a history that's been fraught with a lot of complications and fans left in its wake. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The news came down on Thursday. NHL Board of Governors have approved not just the sale to the Smith family who own the Utah Jazz, but now the relocation of this franchise to Salt Lake City. You heard how the fans felt about it in the moment on Wednesday night. We played a part of the tribute, the emotional farewell from longtime Coyotes broadcaster Todd Walsh. When the arena had emptied out and he was one of the only people left there, it brought people to tears and it went viral. A couple million views on social media. That's just Twitter alone. We reached out to Todd and he's kind enough to join us now from the desert. Todd, I can't imagine the roller coaster you've been on over the last couple of days. But how are you feeling now after knowing for sure the team will be moving to Salt Lake?
First of all, thanks for having me. And it's remarkable to be talking to someone, a country away and talking about this that strikes right into the heart and soul of the sports community in Arizona. But I think it's a little bigger than that. But I was on the road with them on this last road trip. We had a 5-game trip near the end and we started to hear some of the rumors and then some of the stories started to break. So it was sort of a slow bloodletting because, candidly, for those of us who were in the traveling party and up on the road, I mean, we saw the handwriting on the wall and it was, I mean, when you're embedded with the team, you see things and hear things that you can't report, as I know you know. So the reality of it for me was just an inevitable moment, and then coming back home and watching it unfold in front of the fans at Mullet Arena last night was obviously the straw that broke the camel's back, and then the news today. But I mean, I was bracing for it certainly in Canada, but really the reality is, as I was watching games at Mullet Arena and realizing that where there's smoke, there's fire, and you just started to hear the comments and teams that were coming into town and they weren't happy. The union wasn't happy. The league certainly knew that that wasn't sustainable. So it's been a long, slow process, and then the cliff. I don't know if I really answered your question, but I felt it coming when we were flying back from Calgary. I was preparing to say goodbye on the air last night. That's basically where I was.
And I do want to talk about that, because your goodbye of sorts and your stories have gone viral. But Todd, if you had to tell someone who had no knowledge of this situation at all why it came to this, what would your answer be?
It's about the economy, stupid. No, I guess that's thank you for laughing at that. To me, it's just a series of mistakes. It is not, I mean, you can put the lion's share of this on the Morello family. There was so many missteps, but you got to go all the way back to the very beginning, year number one, when they were in America West Arena, the Suns Arena, and they obstructed view seats, and they were the second citizen, the second tenant to the Suns. They couldn't put their own signage up, and they were just always chasing their tail. And once that started, and they were dealing with that financial reality, and they were losing money, and all of a sudden, I mean, the drum started beating for this team to leave in year two, I believe, and it was literally at the 11th hour that they didn't go to Portland. There were players that were going to be sent to Portland to look for homes, just Whoa. Like these guys are doing in Salt Lake City, and then in Quebec and Kansas City and Houston and Winnipeg and Seattle. And all those rumors just kept going. So as you look at this thing from 30,000 feet over 28 years, there was never stable ownership, and they never got the arena that they really needed. The Gila River Arena in Glendale was on the west side, and just so hard to get to, not anywhere near the population of their season ticket holders. They won an election in central Scottsdale, and then the owner at the time was more into real estate, and he wanted to build a mall, and he got free land in Glendale. So I could go on and on and on, but it starts with location, location, location. It starts with just ownership that just wasn't completely dialed in specifically for hockey. That just started to add on top of it. And then finally, the Morello takeover and leaving Glendale Arena and effectively giving them no place to play that was suitable for the National Hockey League. I think it all just kind of just piles on, and then you've got what happened today. The league just couldn't do this anymore. There's no way. And I know the league is desperately in love with this market. They've been so committed to it. I think they'll come back to it at some point. Don't know when. So this is a sports tragedy here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I love what the Diamondbacks president, Derek Hall, said today. This is a wake-up call. We just lost one of the majors, and this is a top 10 market, a top 10 television market, I believe, too.
So, Todd, what's it been like to be with this franchise through the highs and the lows and the uncertainty and everything else? I mean, it's been decades of this.
I never felt certain. I mean, if I can talk to you on a personal, professional level about it, you know, I had a job that I've always wanted, and every single year, and I mean every single year, it didn't matter if I was under contract or not, the ground was moving and it felt like we were on quicksand all the time. And I would just be so happy when I would show up for opening night because, okay, I know I've got 82 games. But there was just this never-ending drama and passion play that was just unfolding every year. But I always thought that one of the reasons why the Coyotes did have success early on, first of all, they were the new shiny new object in town. It was really exciting. There is a hockey base here. But they were like Avis Rent-A-Car because they tried harder and they knew it.
Aww.
Nothing came easy to them. So they would pound the streets and the pavement for tickets and promotions and doing everything they possibly could to get people in the building. And my stump speech for hockey is, if you get in the building once, just once, and you see it, and you feel it, and you smell it, and the visual explosion that is a hockey game up close and personal, you're going to come back. And if you can't come back, you might watch it on TV. And that's what we were doing. I mean, it was all hands on deck. I had a stack of tickets that I got, season tickets, that I carried in my bag And wherever I went, the marching order was, if you see somebody and they recognize you or they've got a Coyote shirt on or a hat, here, give them a ticket.
Whoa.
That, I had that for years. I walked around with it looked like a Tony Soprano wad of money in my hand. And if someone said, hey, love the Coyotes, bam. And those were the little things that added up, and then that changed. And then there was a sense of entitlement. There was new ownership and new management where they thought, well, it's Tuesday and Nashville's here. Everyone's going to come. Well, that was wrong. And you can't do that in Arizona. You can't do that in a destination like Phoenix, a resort city. It's just, you've got to hold their attention. And then the other part of it all is, and I didn't even mention this, is winning. And they just had several years of mediocrity and horrendous draft picks, and they never had a complete rebuild and didn't do it right. So that's a very long-winded answer, and I apologize, but it's a complicated story here.
That's the part that sticks with me and resonates with me, is the fact that it's been going on for so long. And yeah. As you point out, quicksand, you always wondered when the other shoe would drop. And that's a tough way to live, not just for people employed by the team, but how about the team itself, even though that's transient and the roster often changes, but there have been ownership changes and management changes. And I say a lot that constant change equals constant losing in sports. And it feels like that's the cycle the Coyotes have been stuck in.
Yes, and if you're constantly finishing between 8 and 15 or whatever it was, and you're just not getting that top three draft pick, you're not getting the generational player every now and again, you're never going to do it. I give Bill Armstrong, the general manager, all the credit in the world, because when they brought him in, they finally just broke the cord, and they said, we're going to do a rebuild. It's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. And it was a total rebuild. And now that's the heartbreaking thing, is this team's going to Salt Lake City and they're going to be good. They're going to be really good. They've got such high-end skill and I think guys that potentially could be not generational stars, but perennial all-stars in this new wave of the National Hockey League. And I know they're going to spend money in Utah, and I would not be surprised to see them in the postseason pretty quickly. And that'll be, I mean, for Coyote fans here, that's just going to feel like, oh, man, Grand Theft Hockey, you know?
Longtime Coyotes broadcaster Todd Walsh, with them from day one, is now with us here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on an historic day that has been a poignant and emotional one. What have you heard from the fans about this moment and this move?
Man, last night it was powerful. And again, there's just been a visceral connection to the Coyote fan base for years and years and years because of all the speculation that I just described, because we were all sort of living it together. That's why I said what I said at the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
We really do walk together forever. And you know, I was a part of that parade of rights holders on radio and then television, where we're asking people, invest in this product. And I don't mean financially, that never concerns me, but it's the emotional investment that you want a fan base to have in your team and your product, your shows. You know, I was constantly doing that, and then now they're gone. So last night, I saw so many people that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I was telling the story earlier that you would make eye contact with someone, and instantly you knew there was a long-standing recognition, and then you started to get closer to the person, and then the handshake starts, and the hand squeezed a little harder than normal, and all of a sudden you're in an embrace. And inevitably, one of us would whisper, this didn't have to happen. I mean, there was anger there, and there was frustration along with the sadness. So I sensed that. I was there for 2 hours after the game last night. When I drove out, there were still fans just cheering and applauding all of us that were leaving the building. And you know, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, it's a heart and soul thing. It's a heart and soul sport. The fans are so connected in hockey, I think, like maybe none other sport. And it was hard to drive away. It was really hard to drive away last night.
Your goodbye, your ode to the Coyotes. It was also a love letter to fans and to the family. It was all of those things into one. And it was then captured in a 5-minute video that has gone viral around the sports world. The number of times it's been shared and viewed, and the reaction, obviously very heartfelt, and a lot of the emotions that you're expressing to us now. But in that moment, how did you keep it together? I think I would have been a basket case.
I don't know. People have asked me that a lot. I've for some reason, I've been fortunate enough to talk about unfortunate moments. And I mean, I don't know why. I guess the only analogy I can make is that I've given, I think, 7 eulogies.
Hmm.
And there's something about when you walk up there and stand there and you're trying to take care of the person that you loved so much and make sure that everybody is okay in the audience, that you become, it's an out-of-body experience. That's all I can say to you as a fellow broadcaster. When I went up there, I knew what I wanted to say, and it was my truth. And I put it together probably 48 hours ago in my head. I walked through it a couple times, and we had so much other activity going on throughout the course of our broadcast. And I remember at one point I was like, oh man, do I have this? Am I going to do this?
Hmm.
And then when it happened, I mean, I know you've probably felt this, that sometimes it's just an out of body experience. And
yes.
I cannot believe, first of all, the fact that you and I are chatting right now is mind-boggling to me. I was on a radio station in Saskatchewan. They're talking about snow reports, and then they came to me to talk about it. I've heard from people across every sport that you can imagine, and it's felt like a kind of a living wake. But I will tell you that it's the greatest blessing I've ever had. I didn't sleep last night. I'm on zero fumes. You're the last human I'm going to talk to today.
Wow.
And I've been able to tell so many people that I love them, and it's been an unbelievable feeling. I've had people reaching out from the first year of the Coyotes to when I was with the Arizona basketball team 1,000 years ago, and on, and coaches I've never met, and I've been able to just tell them what they meant to me, and I think that's a great gift. I feel like I said last night, or tried to say, that it's up to us to find something good out of every story, no matter how it ends. And my personal joy is what has just happened today. I don't know how that happened. I do not know how that happened. But I'm glad it happened. I'm not for me. I'm glad for the sport. I'm glad for the people in the sport. And I'm glad for the people here in Arizona. They're really hurting right now. And maybe that gave them something that they could find their own joy in. And that's, you know what, if that's what was asked of me somehow from some other power, I'm very happy to have been the vehicle for that.
What is your sense about the fans and how or if they will support the Coyotes when they move to Salt Lake in light of them chanting Salt Lake sucks last night?
You know what? I think this is a unique place in that experience because of what happened with Winnipeg. And when the Jets came here, it was brutal. But this is before social media and just the dawn of the internet age, really, when you think about it. But as the years went on, Winnipeg crept back up into the conversation. There was talk that the Coyotes were going back, and many people thought they were. And all of us here were under attack from Winnipeg. And then when Winnipeg did come back and we went to play there, I mean, they even booed Shane Doan. I think Coyote fans got a heavy dose of that. And I think they're angst is more directed at the current ownership right now. I don't think they're going to be taking it out on Salt Lake. I just don't feel that. I think it's because of the uniqueness of that experience. I know one thing I learned is I was very young in my broadcasting career, but I watched these reporters come chase the Coyotes for a year. They followed the team like it was their beat. So they were flying from Winnipeg to Phoenix and meeting us on the road. And it was a team that they had lost. And those guys were angry, and they had a chip on their shoulder. And I got to know them over the years. And when they got their team back to Winnipeg, I specifically went up to the press box and went to both of them and said, I want you to know that I know what you were experiencing. I now realize it. And if I wasn't cool to you then, I'm sorry, but I should have understood. But I know now. And I'm glad you got a team back. So I hope... fans here in Arizona, they've got other things to be angry about right now. It's not Salt Lake. And they just want to keep the hope of hockey alive. And I think they're very skeptical of the current ownership that will bring them. So that'll be the big angst for them to roll with for a while.
Todd Walsh is with us from the desert, where the Coyotes will soon be departing after nearly 3 decades. An emotional couple of days, even if people knew it was coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Todd, this is a little bit off the beaten path, but how cool is it to have another Doan part of the organization? He's the one that a lot of people are going to for reaction, considering that his dad is one of the greatest players in franchise history.
He is. He's the face of it. That's the first family of hockey in Arizona. And if you had called 10 minutes earlier, I was at Shane's house with a little gathering of longtime Coyote employees. And it was one of the coolest nights I've ever experienced, really, in covering sports. And I've covered every single sport. I've been a rights holder for every sport you can imagine. But to see Josh Stone do what he did on that night in front of his family, it was remarkable. It was electric. And I think nobody at that point thought that this was going to happen. So we were all sitting here thinking, oh my God, we're going to be covering this again. And he's just like his dad. And he's just, you know, all these things. And all of a sudden it's over. And there he was deflecting and talking about this titanic change. And I actually had Shane on the intermission last night. And we were in a commercial break, and he said, don't you dare make me cry. And I went, no, I won't. And we came out of the break with a soundbite of Josh talking just like Shane. And he just punched me in the shoulder, and I said, I'm sorry, but look at what you've created here. And the people in Salt Lake, they're getting a very special person and a special family, and it's not going to take them long to figure it out. And everybody here in Arizona knows it, and that's the hard part. Now, as I said that on the air, and maybe I shouldn't have last night, but the saddest thing for me was that the Doan family was leaving that building when the doors closed, the lights went out. That was it for hockey here and at that level. And that just, it breaks my heart. It's a legacy that he's like a man without a country right now, Shane Doan is. But Josh will carry that torch.
I can imagine. He's so incredibly proud. And honestly, Todd, I didn't know that he would get the banner that had his number on it. At least the franchise allowed him to take that home.
Well, it was thrown out and discarded, and somebody found it.
Oh, so, no way!
There's a horrible story to that. I don't have all the details, but when they left Glendale, they left. And the banner got pulled down and got put in a storage case, and then I believe it was discarded, and somebody found it. And
oh, my
somebody
gosh.
Was cool enough to say, I've got this, and they gave it back to him. But, you know, I go back to the night that thing was raised, and it was just a celebration unlike anything I'd ever seen in Arizona sports history, and for the right person and, like I said, the right family.
Wow, it's so emotional. I almost feel badly asking you more questions. But if you don't mind, just one more. What has it meant to you to be part of this family, as you talked about so eloquently on your goodbye last night?
It's the story arc of my adult life. As I said, it gave me a purpose, and professionally and personally, the best friends I've ever had in my life have come from the sport of hockey. I learned so much about just proper respect and the reverence for everybody in and around this game, because it comes to you if they see you living that life, which is what I was doing. And I just wanted people to know that this sport breeds a special type of person. And I'm so fortunate to have been a part of that. I didn't play hockey. I played street hockey. My parents couldn't afford skates and equipment. It was my lifelong dream to do it. I didn't. I had a couple of twists and turns in my career. I never thought I would go back to sports. And somehow, some way, the hockey team appears in the desert and they want to be on a rock station, and I'm sitting there. I mean, are you kidding me? That's somebody's controlling that, and that's in another world. And I was just, I was given an opportunity, and I didn't want to screw it up. And one of my closest friends who won a Stanley Cup and I just looked up to so much said to me one day, and it's the best advice I ever got. And sadly, I had to speak this at his eulogy. He said to me, make yourself invaluable. Don't ever let them imagine what it's like to not have you covering their team and being a part of their story presentation. Don't let them ever think that it's okay to not have you around. And I took that to heart. I finally probably grew up enough to understand that. And I'm sitting here talking to you about it 28 years later. I hope it's not over. I don't want to walk away from the sport of hockey. But we'll see. I guess it's up to the hockey gods, I presume. But it's been an amazing journey, and I don't regret any of it.
Todd Walsh, any franchise would be fortunate to have you tell their story, considering the history that you have seen and absorbed and the passion and the emotion with which you identify, not to mention the family that you speak of and that you've created. Find Todd on Twitter at Todd Walsh and the video. You need to watch it because it was in the moment. It was perfectly delivered, and the poor guy has not slept since because his phone, he's going to need a new phone. He's celebrity status now. So we appreciate, I know it's been a really long couple of days, very emotional couple of days, but thank you so much for sharing not just your story, but speaking for the fans in Arizona. Todd, it's been good to connect with you.
Well, from Rochester, New York, to Scottsdale, Arizona, to you, I really appreciate this. It means the world that you guys reached out, and I wouldn't have ever imagined that happening. So I'm honored by that, and thank you for those words.
You want to talk about emotional? He's a guy who's been through everything with this franchise. And I so appreciate Todd sharing from the heart, as he did last night, but even more so now that he's exhausted and the news is final. And so you hear the impact it can have. He's an employee, but he's also someone who's been there for the long haul. And that really does set the stage for more of you to respond to our question about the most painful or even nonsensical relocations in sports history. Whatever one sticks with you. And we're getting a bunch of answers on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. Happy almost Friday, even if you are a Coyotes fan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Obviously, it's hard to move, and there's a lot that's going on. I think at the end of the day, it's something that we don't want to take anything away from Salt Lake City and the people there. Obviously, that they've done nothing wrong. They're embracing us with open arms, and it's hard moving away from home.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Coyotes rookie Josh Doan, whose dad and whose family are synonymous with the franchise. But as we just heard Todd Walsh describe it, he's like a man without a country because this is what he's known. And now he, along with the rest of the Coyotes, or maybe we should call them the unknown or unnamed franchise, will be on the move to Salt Lake City. It's not the first time a rumored move has been out there, but it is the first time it's been official. So it's the Smith family that buys the franchise from Alex Morello. Morello was speaking out on Burns and Gambo on AZ Sports, Arizona Sports 98.7, about his plans in the future to restore hockey to the desert.
My intent is to use the full 5 years, okay, and not only that, but work with the NHL. You will see tomorrow during the interviews and the statement that we're going to have with Gary Bettman and myself, you'll see the commitment from Gary, how important it is to him, because he believes in Arizona, and he's right. He's been here for 20 years, constantly advocating for the hockey team, and he's told me when I first bought the team that this is his dream, and he's had so much invested. We are all committed on getting this thing done.
And I don't know how that plays. The idea that he would bring a different franchise in when he had one and couldn't ever find a legit place for them, I don't know. It's convoluted, it's complicated, and it's always emotional. But he tells Arizona Sports 98.7 that he's committed to that. And certainly that could end up happening if they can find a place for them to play. But then what do the fans do? Support the new team? Support the team that moved? It's a little bit like we were talking about with the Cleveland Browns. Their team had moved to Baltimore. But then, as we now know, a couple decades later, the new franchise that moved into Cleveland and took that space, well, they got all the passion, all the energy. I don't want to say it's forgotten because it's not, but there's certainly a generation of Browns fans that didn't live through it, know nothing about it. Or if they know about it, it's more like history, like the Ernest Biner fumble. It's just a part of the history that you can't really emotionally identify with.
And it's also that they kept the Browns history because the NFL did that.
Weird.
And it's instead of all of that history that went to Baltimore, it didn't. It's like it never happened. Baltimore just came out of thin
poof,
air and they just emerged in 1996. They were never there before. So it's funky that they were able to move the Browns and then reemerge, and they had all the history. So there's just a few years where there was no team. So it's almost like you fell asleep and it was like, oh, they just didn't play those couple of years? Yeah. They didn't play for, I think it was 3 years. Okay.
Also, the Bill Belichick part of their history remains.
Yes.
Did you hear what Bill Belichick said about how he's never had a cup of coffee in his life?
I did. I don't understand how that's possible.
I don't either. Especially not working in football or in coaching.
Well, that's the thing. Like, football coaches are synonymous for, 3 hours of sleep or waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, all this stuff, and sleeping in the office. At no point you were ever exhausted and you said, you know what, just give it to me. Give me the, it smells awful. Give it to me. I don't care.
The magic sauce here.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I know that he said in that same interview, he has tea, he has other drinks. So it's not that he doesn't have caffeine. So I get that aspect of it.
But coffee's the one that's most readily available wherever you go.
And it just seems
tea's not always available.
It's also odd that, someone his age, at no point, you were never even curious to give it a shot. It's just
curious.
It's just odd to me. It is. But that's also because I live off coffee, so.
Crazy enough, though, I have received a bunch of tweets from people who say, me too, I've never had coffee either. I don't like the smell of it. I don't like hot beverage, blah, blah, blah. So there's no way that it represents the majority. Because, in fact, I was telling you I don't think you and I were working together last week. From the National Coffee Association, the recent stats indicate that 2/3 of Americans had coffee in the last 24 hours. 75% of Americans have had coffee in the last week. So it's a very small minority that would then say, I've never had coffee. Like, for instance, my brother, he goes through these stages where he kicks it. He just, because he feels like he drinks too much of the creamer and that ends up costing him calories and sugar.
Okay.
So he'll go without it for stretches, but then always comes back to it. He just doesn't drink it black. So he'll cut it out every now and then. But the number of people who would say they've never even tried a cup of coffee, that's got to be a very slim minority.
It's the never, because my brother doesn't drink coffee at all, but he's tried it. He had it. He just doesn't like it. He has no interest in it. And he got rid of caffeine, no soda. So he's just straight without caffeine now. So I understand the idea of you don't drink coffee. I've
never
tried
exactly.
Coffee is the part that I'm struggling with.
Exactly.
Good for you. I wish I never tried coffee either,
what?
But I would.
How would you survive this business? I don't even know how I would do it.
I get it. But if I was able to stay awake and not have the caffeine, that would be, that's the ultimate. That's what you want.
Jay drinks soda. But that's even worse for you. Well, coffee's actually not bad for you.
No.
Coffee has got many antioxidants and healthy benefits. There are many studies that show that consumption of coffee in moderation is linked. Right. But like anything, coffee in moderation is linked to actually health benefits like increased metabolism, the antioxidants, all that jazz. It's actually really good for you.
Yeah, like I said, in moderation. When you abuse anything and the caffeine is not good for your body.
Soda stops working, too.
Yeah. The soda I kicked a while back.
Me too.
I had too much of that for a long time, too. But coffee I'm not getting. The only thing I've done is, over the years, and I guess this is when you drink enough coffee, I used to, it was almost like everybody, you put a lot of cream, you put a lot of sugar when you're first starting to drink it, I guess, and it just kind of cuts back. I haven't put cream or sugar in a while. Now I'm just black coffee.
You just drink black?
Yeah. So
wow.
At some point, you just kind of just give me the coffee. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There's stages you go through. It depends on how much you drink. I think.
Well,
it is.
My stage now, and this is because I went through a stretch where I was trying to get healthier. And so I was cutting out not all sugar, but a lot of sugar. And I was also cutting out more dairy because I love dairy. And so instead, I started drinking almond milk. I don't drink it like with my cereal or my oatmeal or in a glass, but I put it in my coffee. Mm. And a friend introduced me to oat milk, which I actually prefer the taste of. And then I do just a little bit of half and half. So I do my coffee, the almond or oat milk, and a little half and half. And it's actually not bad. And I don't put sugar in it. I use Truvia, or I don't use anything at all. Mine is as low sweet as possible, or low sugar as possible.
Yeah, I cut all that stuff out of there. And I haven't had milk in, decades.
I can't live without milk. I love
no
milk.
Interest in milk. Mm. When I was a kid, loved it. I haven't had a glass of milk in, got to be 30 years.
Well, that's why I've never broken a bone, I'm pretty sure, because I've been drinking milk my whole life. Actually, milk has great qualities in terms of like a recovery from a major athletic event, like a half marathon or...
Really?
Yeah, it does. In fact,
can you
after,
like wait a day? Because that would sound awful if you're sweating and hot and driving milk.
Oh, see, I think it sounds delicious. So when I used to play...
That was a bad choice.
When I played college basketball, we practiced in a gymnasium, an arena that was right across from the what'd you say, the college... It wasn't a cafeteria, it was like a snack shop. And so every time we got done practicing, I would run over to the snack shop and get a large, and I mean large cup of iced milk. Oh, so good. Oh. So good. It's my favorite thing. In fact, I went biking. I biked on Thursday evening, and as my reward, my treat, I got to drink a glass of milk and a couple pieces of chocolate. It's delicious.
How about chocolate milk?
Yeah, I don't like it as much. I actually prefer the taste of milk. And if I could drink 2% all the time, I would. I mostly drink 1%, but...
Is there a real difference between the two?
Yeah, there is. Whole milk and, skim milk's like water. I don't drink skim milk anymore. But 1% I can deal with. I just love the richness of whole milk or 2% milk. But it's a lot more. It's natural fat and sugar, but it's a lot more than...
Yeah, no. The whole milk, yeah, I remember there being, again, it's been a long time, but I remember there being a difference. I didn't know there was much of a difference between the one and the two. But yeah. Again, I'm not a milk guy, so I'm not going anywhere near
not
it.
Not a milk guy.
No, just you gave me a glass of milk, it's a drink, and I'd be like, please.
Milk was a bad choice.
Exactly. I would not be able to do it at all.
All right, coming up, some of your responses to our show question, the most painful relocation in sports history, or maybe the most nonsensical franchise move on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
So long, farewell, I'll be just...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good night. I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.
Men in Cleveland right now will show you what local fans think of Browns owner Art Modell, who could be called public enemy number one.
Like, really sad to see him go. Just don't even know how to react.
Some knew exactly what they wanted to do. Seats that have been in place since 1931 were torn out and taken home for mementos.
That's promotional.
Today's ticket also served as a souvenir.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
So long, farewell. I'll be just saying goodbye.
What a combo.
And heave a sigh and say goodbye.
One of my favorite movies of all time, by the way, Sound of Music and Julie Andrews, but interspersed with the jilted fans in Cleveland who had the team leave out from under their noses. Though they did get football back and all their records in history 3 years later, I know that that's still one of the most painful sports franchise relocations in history, not to mention just weird and nonsensical. 1995, Oh, that hurts. I wonder if Bill Belichick has any special memories he'd like to share with us from that day. Probably not. He doesn't seem to wax poetic very often.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How in the world do you get by without coffee? 855-212-4227 on Twitter at Amy After Hours. That's our show Twitter. We're getting a bunch of new fans, which is awesome. Thank you for the follows. And also on our Facebook page, and we'll get to your answers coming up. Mike is in New Jersey. Mike, what do you think about the Coyotes?
You know, Amy, I got to apologize. I didn't get to turn on your show until 3 o'clock, and I fell asleep, and so I finally woke up. I couldn't put you up on my radio in my car. I got a brand-new car, so I can't really say too much, you know, about the Coyotes, a possible move. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, not possible. It's happening now.
Okay. I remember when the St. Louis Cardinals left and went to Arizona, and that was not good for the St. Louis fans. They've been there for years.
Right.
I was trying to pick up on other things you talked about. I am a milk drinker, skim milk only, and I drink 24 ounces of coffee a day. I start work at 12 midnight. I work till 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and then I got my day free.
Nice.
And I'm one of your number one fans. I was the one that foolishly let a swear word out. I meant to say bull crap, and I didn't, and you cut me off.
No, I didn't cut you off. I did not do it, number one. Number two, Jay, if Jay does not dump that off the air, Jay gets fired. So Jay has no choice but to do that.
Well, man, I turned 63 on Sunday. My wife died 23 years ago, and I was 40. And I went on to sports radio a little bit in the region area, in the Allentown area, in the Lehigh Valley. And I was listening to you back in 2004, or wherever you were. I was listening to sports radio. And I started following you again in 2012. And so I'm still one of your number two fan after your mom. Swear to God.
Even ahead of my husband?
Oh, well, now you're right. I'm now number three. That's okay. I can live with that, man. I was at the Sixers game Thursday night behind the Miami bench.
Yeah.
The Sixers really took care of me. And it was a great game, of course, as you saw. And I'm going to be in New York Sunday or Saturday for the game. But I'm on my seventh day. It'll be my seventh day of celebrating my birthday, and I'm exhausted. It's a great week. So I think I'm going to make it to New York because I'm going to be at the draft next week out in Detroit. I'm going to take 2 or 3 days to get there.
Wow.
I should be on TV. I'm working on my appearance. I'm working on my appearance so that I can do some TV work. They haven't seen me in years. They've been waiting for me for years.
What kind of TV work are we talking? Oh, well, this time he hung up on himself.
I didn't do that.
Did he say TV work?
TV work. Huh. I've been waiting for him.
Like as a number one fan?
And he made it sound like he was going to do some sort of presentation.
Oh. He kind of lost me there. I do appreciate that he called up and just admitted right away, I have no idea what you're talking about. Dear. All right, we are getting a bunch of your answers, but the question out there, and we will let you respond in either manner, either the most painful relocation in sports history or the one that just made no sense, the franchise move that was nonsensical in every way. Maybe it still irks you. Maybe it still bothers you. Maybe you refuse to let it go, like the Seattle Supersonics fans. And I understand why. They were purchased by an Oklahoma City business owner, and he immediately moved the team to Bricktown in OKC. How are you feeling about that, Seattle? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.